This is Whitney.
And this is Hysterical Women,
the podcast that no one asked for about our thoughts about gender in our society.
Each week, we're going to dissect events, macro
and micro, to determine if we think this week was a win
or a loss for feminism.
There she is, the girl of the hour, my golden girl, Nora Kay.
Look at you. Did you shower for this occasion?
Maybe I did.
How do I get the two veins in my head, brain, forehead, not to just like, it's like a Harry Potter moment. Like when something happens, they're just like, yee!
Well, if you find an answer, then please let me know because I have insane forehead veins as well. In fact, in high school, my friends named my forehead veins Adolfo. So it's been part of my look for a while, you could say.
I think they're like getting more intense. Maybe more blood to the brain. I don't think those veins are serving that purpose. I've been watching a lot of Grey's Anatomy, but I can't say that I'm learning anything about doctors.
I don't think that was the intention.
No? What if Shonda's like, I just wish that people understood doctors more now. I gave them the foundation to put it all together, and yet
it's actually med school.
If you watch all 15 seasons of Grey's Anatomy, you are ready for med school.
No, you're right. You're like graduated med school.
You have your own practice.
Yeah,
you have a private practice, which is a spinoff show that I've also watched.
Is it a spinoff of Grey's Anatomy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I actually thought it was like a different network and everything.
Oh no, it follows Addison, who's McDreamy's. Is this good for a podcast?
Everyone who loves Grey's Anatomy is like, yes. And people like me who have never seen it are like, okay.
You're like, how could this be less relatable if Nora talked about this for the next 4 hours? Anyway.
I've gotten into the habit, I stole this phrase from you whenever I'm telling a story, which also, I think I've said this before, that like, I feel like in the time of COVID, I'm just telling all the stories, regardless if I think they're entertaining or not, because I'm just like, we have so much time, why not? But I've stolen this saying from you where I'm like in the middle of it. And then I'm just like, is this interesting? Do you care? And I feel like that like kind of throws people off because like they were interested, but then they're like, oh, I guess I'm actually not.
It gives them the opportunity to be like, oh, this isn't interesting. It's a real double-edged sword. It's funny, it's quirky, and yet it totally derails most things. that's kind of me. The problem really is that like we talk on this, I listen to podcasts all the time. And so my lexicon and phraseologies have just become, I find myself talking the way that the podcast I listen to talk, and then I say it on this podcast. It's a terrible, nothing is original, if we're being honest, but there are some moments where John will be like, you got that from a podcast. Like he knows. it really sucks.
I love your John. I miss him. I miss a lot of people right now, but like he's up there, like probably top five.
Wow, he misses you. He's home right now, so that's good.
That's fine.
He just hasn't made a list.
But if he had, I'd probably be top 30.
Definitely top 30. I don't know, top five. I'll need to delve into your relationship with him later.
Yeah.
We'll get on a new Zoom call.
My friend also, she just, shout out to Chelsea Wilson. She has an amazing studio, vocal studio, by the way. She's my artist of the week. So saying that now. But she just got married and I've only met her husband. They like were long distance for a while. Anyway, I've only met him in person, I think twice, two or three times. And then I talked to him on the phone. Anyway, he was telling her, his now wife, he's like, yeah, I feel like I really know Whitney from her social media. And I'm like, I want to get to know him. I was like, I want you to tell me if it's actually true to me. Like, I'm like, I feel like everything on social media is so curated always. So I'm like, I just wonder if, and he's like, yeah, then I'll tell you if it's like better or worse than you in real life. And I was like, that's perfect.
I would love to know if people think it's better or worse in real life. I feel like I'm pretty honest. I feel like I don't really know how, I don't really have a filter, so I don't really know how to like curate. Do you have a question?
That I wish people would ask me? Why? Yes, they do. Tell me about your best work as a teenager.
My best work as a teenager?
Yeah, well, mostly I just want to talk about how I've been watching a bunch of performances from when I was in high school and brag about those. So you can, but you can answer that first.
You'll give me the opportunity first. What didn't I do in high school? Really? I was co-class president.
Okay, bragging. I'm specifically talking about theater performances, but like,
okay. Oh, sorry. Cause also like my car did win best car in shop class.
What?
Is that surprising? Not really, if you think what? About it. I think by what car, I mean...
For best car, like most improved or like...
No, like wood shop. And by car, I mean planes. I'd like to... He literally taught us about aerodynamics and how to like make a wing so that, you know, it can fly. You know, it's like... Because you need some curvature, you need a little depth. Hope he's listening to this, Mr. McCormick. Shout out. And then... Everyone made these planes that were so chunky with like the littlest wings.
Like that TV show? Or what's that movie? It's like cars, but it's planes and none of them look aerodynamic at all. Anyway.
Is that animated?
Yeah.
Okay, well, this was real.
Yeah, I know. No, I know.
And mine automatically won because it's the only one that got some air.
Congratulations. That's big.
Honestly, that's kind of what I...
That's what you're most proud of? Wait, can I interject with something I wasn't planning on interjecting with, but also is random? So my junior year, I did like All-State Choir. And at the end of the year, they have an award ceremony and they brought all the people who made All-State Choir. The next year, spoiler, didn't make it again. Super embarrassing. But I was like the alternate, which is just like, ugh, the worst. But I still got invited to some of the like community events or whatever, where they like, I don't know, celebrated the people that made it that far. And so then at the awards,
they celebrated you a little less.
Just less. Like I was like last and like, and she was an alternate.
And she's been here the whole time.
It honestly was one of those things that I was like, this just would be better if you just didn't include me. But it was like all the same friends who I'd done it with the year before. And I had also been trying to audition for musical theater program. Like it was a lot. It was fine. But at the end of the year, they had the award ceremony for academics. And so I was like, I get there, all my friends are there. I'm like, oh, but they don't tell you what the award is. But I went my junior year for choir. So I, for like All-State. So then I was like senior year, I was like, oh, they're just like dragging me along, giving me this like pity award for being the alternate. And it turns out they weren't even going to give me a pity award. What I received was the award for the best economics student. And I had, it was like the most random thing ever. And the only thing I remember from that class was that everyone got extra credit if they came and saw me in the musical. And two, that we had this project where we had to make our own store. And I made mine called the Hermit Hut. And we've got crabs. And I like made the whole, like, I just thought the whole thing was like a joke. Like I just was trolling the class. And then I got this award for it. It was a mess. Anyway, so that's the most impressive thing I've ever done is win an econ award.
That's amazing. I mean, it really sets you up to be a woman in STEM. It really does.
That was my real passion.
I like was just so done with high school when we were like taking all the AP tests.
Oh, and I didn't take the tests.
I still had to, but instead of studying, I watched every season of One Tree Hill imaginable and then like kind of got bad scores. And my mom was like, are we surprised? But I remember that my econ teacher was like, Nora, if you don't get over a 3, I'm going to be mad at you. And I was like, I don't know what's happening in this class. I know we got macro, micro. That's basically what I brought to this. But I was just like,
well, I would also like to point out that I was not in an AP economics class. This was like regular economics. So
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Do you want to tell me about any other roles that you're proud of though? Theater?
I always found a way to get into the musicals, even though they really didn't want me to sing. That was good. I don't know. I was in stuff, but like, ask me for my resume some other time.
Okay, cool. Well, one of my favorite things about you is how often I find out about another show you were in. Like, you've done so many musicals. Like, I study musical theater in college, and I think you've done 2 or 3 times as many musicals as I ever have.
Yeah, but like, not, I mean, like, why is Frau Schmidt in The Sound of Music to give me a part? Like, that's kind of the kind of stuff.
Which is beautiful. I love that. Okay, well, I wanted to brag about two productions that I was in. One is that I played Penny in Hairspray, and I rewatched. I, like, pulled out these videos expecting to be, like, so cringy and embarrassed. And I mostly was just like, I'm really proud of my little 18-year-old self for, like, really trying.
Yeah. Was this in college or high school?
So that one, it was, like, right before college.
Okay.
Where I, like, started, maybe. Maybe it happened. I know I auditioned the summer before college, and then it maybe was in, like, September, October, if that makes sense, of my freshman year. But then the other one was Anything Goes, where I was Hope Harcourt, which you've said you don't know who that is, and that's offensive to all ingenues everywhere.
I don't believe in ingenues, but you probably knew that too.
I did know that. And it's, like, such a boring role, but I was also, like, I remember specifically being, I had to do this, like, extra rehearsal with just the teacher because I just wasn't acting. Okay, here's the other preface, is that I did show choir, but not musicals. And I didn't really do acting classes, so I didn't really know how to act. Like, really, you just have to, like, say the lines like you believe them. Like, it's pretty easy. But I just was like, but I don't know what that, how. Like, I just had, like, no imagination. I was just like, I don't know how to do that. And felt so embarrassed trying that I wouldn't try in front of other people. So I would just be like, oh, I just don't know the line. So I had to have this, like, other rehearsal with my teacher. And I remember just being like, but I don't know what to do with my hands. And I thought that was, like, the biggest problem.
Here's the thing. Sometimes I don't know what to do. Like, that happens.
I know.
You're just like, what would a human do? But what would a human do? And you're like, I don't know. I've never actually had hands before.
It's like they appear all of a sudden. Yeah. So I just was expecting this to be, like, so bad. But I watched it and I was like, you know what? That was actually pretty solid for a high school student. And I was proud of it. And I was also... this has happened to me multiple times because I have a very fraught relationship with my singing voice. Where I look back at things that I thought I was, like, really bad at, and I'm like, oh, I actually was, like, really good. And I just, like, beat myself up so much about it. And that is a problem with feminism. I mean, wait, that's not a problem with feminism. That's a problem of being a woman, I think. I think it's a thing for everyone.
you really reversed out of that one, huh?
I really did.
But you're like, this is the wrong parking lot. I gotta go.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's great. And I think that maybe you can try to implement that. You're being kinder to your little self. So why not be nice to your now self?
That's beautiful.
I read a book.
On coffee tables everywhere.
Do you want my question? It's like we've already said so much. What more is there to say in this world?
It's like how two nights ago I had a dream that we were recording this live in front of an audience. And my question was, does anyone have something for me to talk about? Because I didn't prepare.
I love that. My question is, what makes you incapable of being a person?
Okay, I'd love to hear your answer.
Okay, so the other day I pulled my neck and, like, I was, like, just such a pathetic little baby. Like, I had to, like, use an ace bandage to, like, wrap some frozen blueberries to my neck. And then I would just be like, I can't walk. I can't do anything.
You just became useless.
I was just became a useless shell of a girl.
But necks are hard.
Necks are so hard.
Necks. I also similarly hurt my back this week, and it's like that just, like, you don't realize how much you need your neck and your back till it's hurting.
Or ankles.
Yeah. I mean, I probably would say the same thing about any part of your body that hurts, but
I think from Grey's Anatomy, if you're messing with your spine, seems like a bad idea.
It does. It seems bad. Okay. Well, I'm sorry. Is it feeling any better?
Yeah, look.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Okay. For the listeners, I kind of rotated my neck in a slightly stiff, stressed out fret. I also just do a lot of, like, neck comedy.
You do a lot of network in your comedy, neck work.
So it was stopping me from doing a lot of things. My art.
Yeah.
Any housework.
I'm like, the thing that mostly comes to mind, when am I not, like, a functioning human, is when I'm sad. Is that a good answer? Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's crazy. I've never been sad. Unrelatable.
I am. Literally try it for once. Let me know.
Should we go into...
Let's go in.
That hard-hitting reporting?
Hard-hitting. Do you want to start or do you want me to?
I want you to start.
Okay. So, coming at this, hot, off the press, live from BBC. I was like, where did I read this again? Okay. So, I'm going to read you the headline. Roe versus Wade. Woman behind U.S. abortion ruling was paid to recant. Okay. First off, I'm going to just full disclosure, Roe v. Wade is something that I've always been like, yeah, abortion, but I didn't really understand what happened or what went into it. So this was a learning experience for me, and I'm just going to share that as if some people maybe don't know it, and if you do know it, then congrats to you. But turns out I wasn't alive in 1973, so it's still on me. I was about to... absolve responsibility, but it turns out I could have read a textbook. Okay, so basically what happened is there's this woman, Norma McCorvey, and she went by Jane Roe. And she was pregnant with her third child, said that she was raped, and asked for an abortion. And at the time, you had to apply for like a medical whatever. And she went to these two lawyers who were like, we actually want to change the like how this works. And so she kind of became the face, although she was under a pseudonym, but she kind of was the impetus behind the Roe versus Wade. And what happened was the Texas legislature forbade abortion and said it was unconstitutional. And then it ended up going up to the Supreme Court and she was forced to give birth. So then what happened later in her life is that she, I'm using air quotes, converted to Christianity. End of air quote. And she had this awakening and she actually went really back on what she said. She had recanted and she's like, actually people shouldn't have abortions. It's bad. She just became like very vocally evangelical anti-abortion. Well, the update and the reason that this is news now, she actually recently died a few months ago in Texas. Oh, and another thing is when she had a lifelong partner, I don't believe that they were ever married, but like a girlfriend named Connie Gonzalez. But even when she had her like Christian awakening, she even like renounced that was a real relationship, even though they actually lived together still. So it was like kind of this weird thing. And she died recently. And now there is a, what's it called? Documentary is what they're called. That's coming out on FX this Friday, I believe. So the day that this podcast comes out, I'm pretty sure. And it's called AKA Jane Roe. And it's about her. And she admits on this documentary that she was paid by evangelical Christians to go back on her word and to go against abortion. And it's like, it just was super interesting. Like, it's like she dedicated her life to women's rights and getting abortions and then like immediately went back on it. And now that she was finally on her deathbed, she's like, yeah, I didn't mean that, but I needed the money. And the program says that she made as much as $500,000. And that also there was this evangelical pastor who worked with her who admitted that they paid her to be the face against abortion. And it's just also super timely right now because she died in Texas, and in Texas was one of the states that has put a pause on abortion through COVID, and they're like now starting to open it, but it's like too late for a lot of people. And anyway, it's just like interesting timing, but I did think it was interesting that like on her deathbed she's like, I don't want to die with people thinking that's what I believe.
I remember like studying Roe v. Wade, and then I remember having a conversation with my friend when she was telling me about how hard Jane Roe's life was and this like evangelical twist that happened. She obviously didn't know, because it was a while ago, so she didn't know this last segment of the story. But I think also another layer is that because she became the face of Roe v. Wade, like society in Texas was like not for her statements, and right. She kind of got persecuted by her society and was really alienated. And
yeah.
And I think that like when you read in history books about Roe v. Wade, it's like this was her name and these were the lawyers, but you don't understand like how much emotional turmoil, specifically because it's laws about abortion, which is such a vulnerable.
Yeah. When especially thinking about someone in the 70s who was like a lesbian and was assaulted, like who was raped and all these things, that's like, you almost like can't fault her. I mean, anytime, like you said, someone's in the public eye for something like this, it's kind of like how assault survivors, like a lot of people don't want to come out publicly about assault because then they're the face of it. And it's like, if you are the face of it, and then you're also already have these things that I guess society would deem as knocks against you, I can, like, I almost don't really even fault her for going back on her word and being like, never mind, I, even if she wasn't being paid. But then to find that out is like, oh, that makes
a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a win for feminism that that documentary is coming out
totally
on Friday. And yeah, I think it's, I'm like
to learn to watch it.
Hell yeah. Mine is more modern, but a kind of also about social and societal perspectives on feminism. So this is from the New York Times. Ever heard of her? And it's an opinion piece. Headline is "Believe All Women," which is like a hashtag. "Believe All Women" is a right-wing trap. And so it is looking at the hashtag "Believe All Women," because "Believe Women" was one of the kind of Me Too movement central ideas. Hashtags gained a lot of notoriety and popularity. But now, specifically around like the Joe Biden accusations of sexual assault, the conservatives have been like, hey, so I guess you don't believe all women, left-wing feminists, because we're having discussions about like Tara Reid and whether Joe Biden, like what it all meant. But I thought it was interesting because this journalist was like, okay, believe, because they're saying believe all women, you're not believing all women. And she was like, okay, but when did it go from believe women to believe all women? And so she like went through the Twitter dark web and found that, like, yes, some people have been using the hashtag believe all women, but it like first kind of sprang up, I think, in 2017 when a right-wing conservative used it that had a lot of Twitter followers, and that it has become like detractors of the feminist movement have been using the believe all women hashtag more than the feminists have been using the believe all women. And looking at how the all in it is more of a negation on the central ideas that hashtag believe women is about, it's kind of antithetical to the feminist movement, because we're asking for equality, but we're not trying to create like a huge blanket over all women. Like, there's so much differentiation between that group of people. I don't know. I just found it interesting that, like, it, so simply by just adding the word all, that it totally changes the meaning and has become spearheaded by the conservative Twitter to discredit the like believe women Me Too movement. And then I was starting to think about like Black Lives Matter and that hashtag, and then the kind of negation of it is like All Lives Matter. And I was just interesting to think about like the trends of these two kind of parallel hashtag Twitter worlds.
Yeah. Well, it also kind of reminded me when you were talking about what's that show that you told me to watch and then I watched the first episode, Miss America. And this is a broad statement. I haven't read the article. I did see the headline though. But my guess is there are a lot of conservative women denouncing this, like believe women, and saying like believe all women, and using, I just think it's so fascinating that, and unfortunate, that women's rights have become a bipartisan issue, and that it's not like that there are people who would rather have their party succeed, even if it means taking back progress towards like women's equality, which I just think is super interesting. And I think I've definitely been thinking a lot about because of like Miss America, that show, and also this article just a minute ago about Roe v. Wade. Like, when are people, maybe even specifically women, willing to let a gender face more discrimination because they want personal power or their party to be in power or whatever. And I just think it's scary and unfortunate.
Yeah, it's very scary. And it felt like because of the power of social media, like specifically now, because it's kind of the only thing we're using to be able to like connect to each other, that this kind of trend has the kind of architecture to be able to really create a rift in how people are like talking about and thinking about sexual assault, the Me Too movement, feminist issues. Like, it's just dangerous for the movement as well. I don't know if that makes sense, but
yeah, it's, yeah. I mean, I think it's just crazy to me that to think that there would be people who are actively fighting against the rights of women, but there are clearly, like, and so then you wonder like why, and like if they're getting something else out of it, and if that's actually what's best for, I don't know, people and not just, yeah. Do you have a micro?
Yeah, I kind of have just like a PSA.
Okay,
cool. Based on experiences that I have experienced. We're on these Zoom calls, Skype, pesky little things a lot. Sometimes you're with a lot of people. If you don't know everyone who's on a call, and anyone could be on a call, maybe don't say weird sexist things, because I could be on the call and just pipe up at the end and you didn't know I was there. Just saying, don't really feel like I need to go into too many specifics, but just like, you know, all, I feel like everyone should act like your daughter, sister, wife, grandma could be on the call, you know?
Okay. I think that's a great, I mean, in general, I think call or no call, those are good guidelines.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm just saying that's like the low, low bar.
Okay. That sounds like a bummer loss.
Yeah. It was a loss, but it was a win when I was like, okay, so I'll send that email. And they were like, I didn't know you were on the call.
Okay, well, I have one that is actually a win. So this past weekend, my niece and a couple nephews came over, and in these unending days, just keep going on and on, at some point we're like, let's watch a movie. And so we turned on Clue, which is a classic. I love that movie. Haven't seen it in a while and didn't realize how much sexism is in it and how much like groping and assault, isn't it? And that's a big bummer. But the win is that my nephew who was watching, who's 14, called out the assault every single time. And I thought that was a huge win, because I was thinking, like, I was watching with John too, and obviously he was also like, this is bad. Like, all of us were just like, this is bad. But honestly, my nephew was the first person to say anything about it. And I was thinking back to like, I was like, I bet when my husband was a 14-year-old, he wouldn't have been like, that's assault. You know what I mean? Like, when some of the characters get like groped and things like that. And I just was like, you know what? Like, first off, shout out to my brother and sister-in-law for like raising an awesome kid. But I also was like, I think that that's progress that kids who are like, he lives in like a pretty conservative Texas town, you know, like he's not listening to our podcast or like seeking out like feminist literature, things like that. But I just was like, I think it's awesome that he saw that and pointed it out and was just like, that's wrong and not the way we treat people. And I thought that was a win.
Is this the cousin that I like?
Yeah.
Yes. We're friends. I think that's amazing. I love that he has like the vocabulary to be able to point it out. I like that he has like the confidence to point it out, and that clearly that's his lens of the world. Yeah, Clue. I watched that recently too. It's like incredible, that kind of like farce that you never see.
Yeah.
But they really do let a lot of women get groped in the dark.
Yeah.
And it's just like the one woman is Scarlett.
It's like Miss Scarlett is like a sex worker.
Yeah. And
like runs a,
and that like makes it okay for them to just like touch her body. And it's like, what? It's like, no, that's not true. Yeah.
Like, I think there's like three, there's Yvette who's the,
oh, also, yeah, yeah, yeah. She who, also,
like her and then Miss Scarlett, their like entire personalities are about like them being hot.
Yeah.
And then there's like Miss Peacock, who's like weird and old. And so she's not sex. And it just is like, oh my gosh.
But then there's a truly incredible performance by Mrs. White.
Is there?
Well, when she's just like,
ah! Wait, I like can't even remember who Mrs. White is. I was kind of half watching, not gonna lie.
The one in all black with the little like bob.
Oh yeah, no, she's very good too. You're right. And also the chef, the cook lady, like those, I feel like those two are less like sexualized and have fun performances.
But yeah.
But it's still like a half of the characters in that.
No, I mean, it's so much a product of its time.
Yes.
And I'm glad that your cousin.
Nephew.
Nephew? What is youth? What is family? What is structure? I love that in this time, there's like more consciousness of it.
Yeah.
So that if someone made Clue again, that wouldn't fly.
Yeah, because I could imagine when John was 14, if he was watching with people, they would like laugh at that. You know what I mean? And not be like, that's inappropriate. So I thought that was a win.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. So
heck yeah.
Let's see. Mine, I guess they were both wins, kinda. And yours were both losses. So it sounds like this week was a wash.
I think it was a wash.
Or a loss.
A wash to a loss. But we'll see about the future. We've got your cousin.
My nephew.
Who knows what's going to happen on social media? So that's cool. And maybe people will learn on Skype.
What do you have an artist you want to highlight this week?
I do. This one's sad. And I like, maybe all my stuff is sad because I've been kind of sad. Lynn Shelton, who is this incredible filmmaker, woman director, writer, who has done a lot of mumblecore movies, which not for everyone, super for me, and has been like a partner of Marc Maron, my other crush, passed away late last week. It's just very sad. Like her mentality that feels very much like our mentality, where it's like, and we just have to, and I just made it. And I just had to make it. And I like there, Marc Maron put out like an In Memory of Lynn Shelton. He talks about his relationship with her and then also plays a podcast interview with her from 2015. And there's so many moments in there that I just really connected with her as a person talking about filmmaking, and specifically a woman talking about filmmaking. And I don't know, I think that a lot of times I psych myself out about making films because I'm like, it needs to be better. It needs to be like intellectual. It needs to like hit all of the beats in the movie. And like, yeah, those things will happen. But she was just talking about like kind of the gut reaction of like feeling the need to make a movie and then finding the way to do it. And she just seemed like such an epic badass and very sad. But also we have all our movies and some incredible television episodes that she directed. So. That's cool.
What's like a movie of hers you would recommend?
Touchy Feely is one. And then Outside In, which has Edie Falco and one of the Duplass brothers, is good. I mean, they're slow. They are mumblecore-y movies. But you can also watch a Pepperwood episode of New Girl. You know, like she did so many different things. So, and then Laggies is like with Keira Knightley.
Mm.
Kind of her like bigger, a blockbuster of independent film. Which is cool.
Very cool. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I already said mine's Chelsea Wilson, amazing voice teacher. If anyone's looking to take voice lessons, check her out. And she's also just like cool lady entrepreneur, and I respect her for that.
We love that.
Yeah. I just looked at myself on the camera. I was like, whoa, I've never seen a face scarier than when I said, yeah.
I love that face. I say more of that face.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
If you listened.
If you like the pod, hit subscribe and leave us a review.
Also, if you have a macro event that you'd like us to cover, slide into our DMs on Instagram @hystericalwomen.